The recordings have been started. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome to this CCWG on enhancing IGAM's accountability session 2 of our intensive meetings. As usual, the roll call will be those present via the connection, and if there is anyone in the phone bridge that is not present at the Adobe Connect room, could you please state your name at this stage so we can add you to the roll call? And may I remind those that are not speaking at the moment to please mute your lines. We have some noise in the background. So is there anyone in the phone bridge at this stage that is not in the Adobe Connect room? Okay, I hear no one in the phone bridge that is not in the Adobe Connect room, so the roll call to those present in the Adobe Connect room. We have a session for an hour, and just doing a very small recap of our session 1, we spoke about 3 main subjects, being the mechanism to empower community, in which we reached an agreement to pose 2 options with regards to the structure, the composition of this mechanism. And we also spoke about the reconsideration, rejection of the budget and strategic plan. And in this regard, we decided to reopen this item later today. And we also had an agreement on the working party 1 decision threshold. That is, we made partial progress in this subject. And then the third subject was the reconsideration and rejection on changes to IGAM bylaws, in which the agreement was that we had a first reading complete, and it was approved to pass just as drafted in the draft report. So, with no further delay, and since we only have an hour for this call, I'd like to hand it to Mathieu to continue with agenda item number 2, which is the power for recalling individual item directors. Mathieu, could you please take the floor?
Thank you very much, Leon. This is Mathieu Vey speaking. Our call this session is very much about the board of IGAM and the powers to influence the composition of the board. And we will start with the recall of individual ICANN directors. So that's been in section 665 of the report. And you can also refer to the, if we show the graph, graphical view we've shared this morning in the AC room, that's a dedicated column. And based on the Work Party 1 items, I will hand over to Jordan for a quick presentation. But basically, there's the question of the members, the recall of individual directors that are elected by ESO or ACs. And then we have the question on the non-com appointed members. And, of course, we have some questions about thresholds. And I would hope that we could find agreements on those 3 items during this call. So, Jordan? Maybe to introduce the kind of questions that the Work Party 1 thinks would be valuable for us to discuss.
Okay, thanks, Mathieu. Just trying to find my unmute button. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, thanks. It's Jordan Carter here for the record. Once again, this is the part of the report that starts on page 40 and finishes on page 41. The recall of individual directors is relatively straightforward for us to organize whatever the mechanism we choose. The only part of this, really, is the what to do with directors that are appointed by the nominating committee. And you'll see towards the bottom of page 40 that there are 2 paths that we've considered. One is that they would be removed by the overall community mechanism, And the other one is that the proposal is that they would be removed by the NomCom acting in a particular way to remove the directors. So that's something we do need to speak of. The second thing is the there was no agreement in Working Party 1 about the level of support through the mechanism that would be required to remove an individual director. 66% and 75% are bracketed there in E. Just because these levels of support seem to presume a voting mechanism doesn't mean that we're necessarily doing so in terms of the level of support to make that clear. And the trade-off here is between making it not an unobtainable level of support, but also not too easy, because we don't want ICANN directors wandering around feeling that if they do their duty to the company under their fiduciary obligations, they can be easily removed. But nor do we think that if if someone does have a serious confidence issue within the appointing body, it should be impossible to remove them. And the last paragraph there that's italicized the positioning threshold, we haven't really landed on that. It's a bit tricky to do. The last point I guess to think about is that in terms of SOs or ACs removing directors, there's a debate about whether we should have one common process and standard across ICANN, or whether we should impose some minimum thresholds for this, and then to allow each SO and AC that makes appointments to the board to remove them. And remember that for appointments to the board in this context, we're talking about the CCNSO directors, two of them, GNSO ones, two of them, the ASO ones, two of them, and the one appointed by the at-large community. Those are the only four appointing bodies for that power. So I think that's kind of the critical issues here. The last point I would mention, I guess, is whether this should be Work Party 1 or 2, Work Stream 1 or 2, sorry, whether we should do this pre-transition or post. To my mind, it should be pre, certainly for those directors that are appointed by the SOs and ACs, because that's very straightforward. It's easy to work out how to do this. It's not going to be too tricky. For the NomCom ones, maybe that's something we could push to Workstream 2. But certainly, this is part of my own view, which I've expressed before, that we need to not have everything relying on the mass sacking of the ICANN board as the ultimate accountability. So that's my summary. Matthew, I hope that's what you were looking for.
Thanks, Jordan. This is indeed what I was looking for. Can I suggest we start checking on the ASO-AC directors? And the question you've raised was whether it's a work stream one item, and whether there should be common requirements for the recall of these removal of these directors, or whether we let the ASOACs decide on this. And I see Alan is decidedly raising his hand, so please, Alan.
Thank you very much. I strongly believe it is a workstream one issue. I think it's one of the simpler things to do, and it's not quite as nuclear as the whole board removal. I would caution against trying to do everything in a single well-defined set of rules, because directors are selected in a multiple number of different ways. Just to point out, the GNSO directors are selected by a subset of the GNSO Council, each of them by their own house. The at-large director is selected by a superset of the at-large advisory committee, that is the at-large advisory committee plus others. So I think you would have some difficulty trying to have a single set of rules. A threshold is certainly something that may be much more viable. But again, recall, for thresholds, remember that in one case for the GNSO, the board member is selected by a total group of seven people. So percentages start mattering a lot when you're looking at that small a number. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So Workstream 1 and some specific rules, and Rudolph.
Thank you, Mathieu. Rudolf Meyer for the record. Before I ask or make my point, I have a question just to make sure that I understand correctly. If I understand it correctly, the principle that the appointer is also the remover is something that Californian law forces up. Is that right?
I would share my understanding, which is that we at least this is workable, and I think this. But there are ways to expand this into in California legal systems. But at least we have a legal check that. Okay, this can work out in a members model, in the designator model, or probably in the, I don't know if it can work out in an informal manner, but at least it can work out. But where was your question headed? You had an intention in
mind. I'll clarify that, because I was not very much in favor of the principle that the appointer is also the sole remover, because I think it introduces the risk of directors being removed for not serving the interest of a specific community or constituency, while they might very well be serving the interest of the public. In my opinion, for a director to be removed, it should not be the sole constituency that appointed him that makes it removal possible, because there is a risk of now targeting a director of the ICANN board for not serving the purposes of the particular constituency. And that can be mediated or repaired by having more constituents obliged to support that removal. But somewhere along the line, I understood, and that can be a mistake, that this is simply not possible, that if there's a particular constituency that appoints a director, it is only that constituency that can, again, remove him or her. So that was my check. But if that's not the case, if I'm wrong there, and it is our choice, then I just want to voice that I'm not in favor of it. I would prefer it to be a community process for any director to be removed and not a constituency process only.
Thank you, Rudolf. That's, I think, a very valuable point of view. Tijani, you're next. Gianni, you may be on mute.
You hear me now? You hear me now? Do you hear me now?
Now it's okay.
Okay. So I repeat, for me, it is not a work stream one. And we decided on that at the beginning of the process, because the removal of one single member of the board is possible with the actual rules without any change, since the board is able to remove one or more than one members on the board. And how the community has the power to make the board remove this member if he is not well performing, it is through the removal of the entire board if the board doesn't do the necessary action. So this is the first thing. Second thing, I echo what Rolof just said, that if the pointer removed the director, it will be the interest of this party, of this constituency that is looked after, not the interest of the public interest. So for me, the removal of one single member should not be done by the constituency only, but should be done with the agreement of the constituency that appointed the member. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. So you're supporting the approach of rule of second point. And on the first one, I would just note that the removal of a board director by the board is a removal for cause, misbehavior in a way, whereas our requirement here is slightly different. But your point is well made on the workstream two as well. Stephanie is next, and maybe we'll respond to Rudolph's question. Stephanie?
Hi, good evening. I just wanted to try to answer and address some of the questions that I've just recently heard, and I will note that in the chat, Holly Gregory has also been addressing it, but simply to make sure we're all on the same page. In California law, generally speaking, it is going to be the appointer, whether designator or member, that has the power to remove the director that was appointed. So if a particular constituency designated or elected a director, it is generally going to require that constituency's approval, at the very least, to do that. Now, because we're lawyers and because we could try to think around that, I don't know that we could try to think around that a little bit, but that is the general principle that I think you should work with at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. That's useful guidance, at least at this point, and we would be able to maybe say that this would be the most straightforward way. Of course, if there was another requirement, that would need some further investigation. Cavus, you are next.
Yes, Matthew, I think we are writing something for the public comment, and we should be quite clear. First presentation, I think we should have a title, removal of the individual board members. Then subtitle, removal of individual board member by ICANN board. Then we refer to the bylaw and so on and so forth. Next subset, removal of the individual board member by SO, AC and nominating committee. Then subset of that, removal of the board, individual board member by SO and AC. Then I come to the point that when SO and AC nominate directors, they have a procedures. The removal should be by those who have nominated and using the same procedures. Then the next item we have to address, how to deal with the nominating committee, and that is a difficult issue. I don't want to get into that now. I want to just propose you a structure that is understood by everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. I will close the queue after Rudolph. Try to recap. But first, there's Alan, Jordan, and then Rudolph. Alan, please.
Thank you very much. Two quick points. There was a mention of removal of board members by the board itself, and I think you said it was for cause. My recollection of those bylaws is there is no mention of needing to demonstrate any specific cause. Now, any given board might, in fact, do that, but my understanding is the procedures simply say if a person can be removed with a sufficient vote. The only recourse right now would be the current reconsideration, which simply says, did you follow the processes? So I don't believe it's for cause at all, although that might be how any given board might act. In terms of the removal by directors, or removal of individual directors by ACSO, even if California law allowed it to be done as a group effort, it certainly has to be done with the approval of the group that named the person, and regardless, I believe that should be the sole group. A director is named because they have the confidence of that group. If they lose that confidence for whatever reason, then I believe it's reasonable for that group to recall the person. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Roelof?
Thank you, Mathieu. I don't want to keep this dragging on much longer, but I just have a question for counsel for clarification. I think Stephanie said removal of a director should have the support of the QC that appointed him or her at the very least. And that at the very least, I think that would be good. Eh? Of course, the committee that appointed that director should agree with his or her removal. But does this give an opening for making the actual group that decides larger? Could that be a condition if we form a single membership construction or a multi-membership construction? I don't know if my question is clear.
It may not be very clear to me, at least.
Okay, let me try again. Stephanie said it should have the support of the constituency that appointed the director at the very least. So that constituency at the very least. And my question is, if we would want to make the group that takes the final decision, if we want to make it large as all the SOs and the ACs, would that be doable, or would that be contrary to law?
Thank you, Roelof.
Would you like me to answer that? I'm not next in the queue.
Yes, but maybe you can answer that, and then Jordan will have the last word, which was my intention from the start.
Whatever you think. Is that okay?
Yes, okay.
Okay. Very quickly, I think, in general, you need to stick with the idea that the appointing body is the one who has the power to remove that individual director. I said at the very least because I can imagine a scenario where the board said maybe you guys should remove this person and suggested it, but ultimately it is that appointing body that has to say, yes, we remove that person. And again, this is all about without cause removal. For cause is very narrow, so I don't want us to get sidetracked on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jordan, you have the last word.
Thanks, Matthew. There's a problem here which the lawyers will need to think about, which is that at the moment these directors are appointed by the SOs and ACs, and at the moment they can be removed without cause by the board. So we've already got a situation where there's a mismatch under our current sort of more designator system where different people can remove compared to appoint. So I think we need to look at that current reality actually in analyzing our response to this. My own view, this is not me speaking as a rapporteur, is that we can balance the fiduciary obligations that Roelof expresses concern about in the fact that anyone who is appointed to the ICANN board assumes those fiduciary obligations. And so if you've got a situation where an SO or an AC removes the director they've appointed through this power because they are acting in what they perceive as ICANN's public interests or the interests of the corporation rather than in the interests particular sectional interest of the appointing body, the next director they appoint is going to have to, in good faith, attempt the same balancing act. So if there's a particular sort of me problem that is a grab for power or a grab for resources, that isn't actually going to be fixed by people removing a director and appointing another one, because the new one will be obliged to act in the same way as the old one. Given that this is a common practice in California law, I don't think we'd be setting up too much of a problem here for ourselves as long as the threshold is high. So that's why I support the kind of picture that we've painted here.
Thanks, Jordan. I think what I'm hearing is that there seems to be a slightly safer mode where we would have removal of individual directors. Constituencies, probably with some specificity around the process, or letting be decided by each SOAC. There was discussion whether it should be Workstream 1 or Workstream 2 item, but considering that this seems to be rather easy to actually state, I think we would not block a further discussion about the issue whether it's Workstream 1 or Workstream 2 if we put these conclusions, which I think we are reaching now, into the public comment report. And obviously, if there's pushback and we see that it's more complicated than expected, then we can have this discussion again whether it's Workstream 1, Workstream 2. So I would flag this item as we're not sure yet it's Workstream 1, but if it was, here's what we would be suggesting. Would there be any objections, and I'm calling for objection on that summary recap and way forward? Avery's objecting, so Avery, probably you will take the floor to explain this. Sebastian as well. And Avery, maybe either in the chat.
This is Avery speaking. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Although there is somebody rustling in the background. But anyway, my point on this is in terms of the going forward. I'm definitely very much in favor of the notion that the selector or elector is the one to recall. I think, though, that we do not have a solution on removing individual directors until we have solved the NomCom problem. My issue is not with the particular solution for the SOAC selected elected directors, but it has to do with only them being solved for. I think we either have to have solved the issue for all directors, or we don't have the solution for removing individual directors.
Understood the reservation until we find a solution for NomCom. Okay. And I had Sebastian also objecting. If I don't know if you've made your point in the chat or want to say a word, Sebastian. If you're speaking, Sebastian, we can't hear you.
I don't know if you can hear me now.
Yes.
Okay. I really think that I disagree with the summary because I think it's much more complicated than we think. And I just want to remind you that each 3 years you have the choice not to re-elect a board member. It may be enough in 3 years and not to have something in the middle. And my second point is that I would like very much to know why the possibility for the board to remove a board member was put on the bylaw. And I was wondering if it's not something dealing with the first election to the general public in 2000 and with the so-called, at that time, at-large elect by that group of people election. And maybe it's not anymore needed today. And it's just another subject, I know, but I think for the big picture, it could be useful to have. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Cavus, a short comment before we move on to the next item?
Yeah, short comment, I agree partially with Avery, but I think you were about to have some sort of a preliminary conclusion on the director appointed removal by the SO and AC. You can put some provisional agreement and go and resolve the issue of the NomCom, which I agree with Avery, that is the most important element. But let us at least maintain whatever you have proposed, and there was an agreement that the electors would be the one who makes the removal. Thank you.
Thank you. That's definitely the current status. I think there's still, we can certainly update the document along those lines. I am hearing some reservations about moving forward into the public comment, but I think we'll have to review this once we've got, maybe at the end of this session if we have time. I would suggest we move to the NOMCOM members. It's certainly more complex, either from the legal side as well as from the political side, because it's, and that's been stressed by Work Party 1. So, Jordan, your proposal was to highlight this as one of the Workstream 2 items, was that?
Well, that was something I mentioned as a possibility, but
Jordan, are you here? Seem to have lost Jordan. So I would raise the question whether we should consider this Workstream 2. I think there was some agreement that it had to be considered. And it requires definitely some further work. Avery, Rudolf, I'm assuming this is an old hand. Yes, no, it. So if it's not an old hand, please take the floor. Otherwise, I'll move to Avery.
Sorry, Mathieu, it was an old hand.
Okay. Avery?
You have a proposal. Thank you. Avery speaking. Two points I wanted to make. First of all, obviously, I would disagree with pushing it to Workstream 2, unless we were also pushing the SOAC to Workstream 2 as well, the individual directors elected by the SOs and AC. In terms of the NOMCOM, I would think that we pretty much had to carry the same philosophy through and be consistent, and basically that a NOMCOM selects them, and you know, it should be a NOMCOM that recalls them. That's why I propose a NOMCOM recall procedure, which is not that difficult. And there's a couple different ways to do it. But one of the fears I have, even if it is somehow doable for everybody to be the ones to decide that a NOMCOM pick, then we have to figure out a mechanism for us not to use that when, you know, every time there is a NOMCOM appointment announced, there are people that scratch their heads and say, why this person? This is a terrible pick. And, you know, would we, since it's without cause, would we be able to use that to undo the work of the NOMCOM anytime we didn't like their decision? Or would we have to build in extra guarantees that sort of said, now, you know, so that's one of my issues beyond just the appropriateness of doing the same thing with NOMCOM selections that we do with SOAC selections/elections. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. And I'm noting Jordan's comment on the chat that in order to have a comprehensive approach, he would support providing Avery's proposal, the NOMCOM recall, as a way to go to public comment. Noting that these elements and this item could perhaps be transferred to what and I think that's an interesting contribution. I close the queue after Rudolf, but Alan, you're next.
Thank you very much. I'll add put the disclaimer first. I've not served on a NOMCOM, so I won't pretend to know how a NOMCOM might think. I have served in the community around the NOMCOM for a long time. I think the concept of a NOMCOM removing board members on their own volition is something that I could support. I find it hard to imagine that a NomCom that's busy looking at a new set of candidates is going to look at an existing candidate for which they have no information because all of the records when they were appointed are effectively destroyed and reverse a decision of a previous NomCom. I can imagine scenarios where it might happen, but I cannot imagine a common scenario where it might happen, or, you know, moderately common. I think it is reasonable for the community to, by a threshold similar to that which would be used to remove the entire board, or perhaps a little bit lower, to say that any given director is not serving the overall community. You're never going to get that amount of critical mass just because they don't like the name of someone who was just appointed. So I really don't think that the kind of scenario Avery raised is a real one. And we have been told by the lawyers that a pre-service letter signed by the director saying they would resign under certain conditions, and the conditions could be there's a supermajority vote or whatever of the community, either members or designators, that they should resign and they would be obliged to do that. So there's a mechanism that we can use. It's similar to that of removing the whole board, but more targeted and therefore not nearly as nuclear. And it can be used to remove directors who clearly are voting against something the community, you know, would like to see go forward, budget or something else. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Cavus.
Stream 1 and Worker Stream 2 at this stage. We should just discuss the NomCom. Is the proposal of Alan is different from the proposal of Avery, or is the same proposal? Because community could be the one which is included in the Avery proposal. If it is not different, then I would ask the legal advisor to give their legal advice on the legality of this process proposed by Avery. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. Olivier? We can't hear you, Olivier. While you're fixing your audio?
Hello? Olivier? Oh, yes, you hear me? You hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, sorry. Yes, first, it will depend a lot of the legal advice to see if the appointee is the remover is the appointee applies to the NomCom or not, and this is not clear to me. And secondly, the point I wanted to make is about the process that is described on the document. Is to build a new ad hoc NomCom to take the decision. I think it's very complex. It's based from the IETF model, as Avery explained to us, but IETF is very different because the NomCom of IETF is randomly selected among the people. So there is no link between the NomCom people and the community. In our case, they are appointed by the community, so it's a close link. So I think we should just trust the NomCom to decide on this decision. The NomCom, at the moment of the problem arises, which is not exactly, will not exactly be the same NomCom as the NomCom, that may not be exactly the same NomCom as the NomCom that taken the initial decision because of the partial renewal of its people. So my proposal would be just to use the NomCom as it is at the moment where the problem arises.
Thank you, Olivier. Merci. Roloff, and then after, I think Avery was going to provide some clarification.
Thanks, Mathieu. Roloff Meijer. First of all, definitely work stream one, as far as I'm concerned, the removal of NomCom appointed directors. I think we should then stick to the principle that appointee, so it should be the regular NomCom that takes a decision to remove a NomCom appointed director. And I think as a safeguard, there are two other mechanisms that are, one of them which is already there. I don't think it will be the exclusive right of the community mechanism to remove directors. I assume that the ICANN board will still have the right to fire a director.
Yes.
And also we will have a community mechanism that can put a lot of pressure on the ICANN board and on the NOMCOM, much more than we have now when we are still a bit divided. So I think those two mechanisms, which maybe are not formal, but which are informal, putting a lot of pressure on the ICANN board and the NOMCOM itself, if there is a NOMCOM appointed director that the community feels should be removed, I think that can be very effective too. We shouldn't underestimate that.
Thank you, Rudolf. Tijani, the queue was closed, but because it's you, you'll have the last word. But first of all, let's hear Avery.
Thank you. Avery speaking. The reason the suggestion, and while this idea is somewhat similar to the IETF NOMCOM that I served on for way too many years, it's been modified to try and fit an ICANN model. The reason for a different recall NOMCOM, but using the same methods, the same appointment methods and everything, really has to do with the very different focus of the two activities. In one case, the NOMCOM is looking at a case presented for removing and making a decision about one person. This coming in the midst of a different mindset, which is how do we appoint people, how do we replace, is very contradictory and would be very disruptive, I believe, of the work of an ongoing NOMCOM. So that's one reason. The second reason is that the decision, they would have a very hard time compartmentalizing the decision to remove versus the decision of who are we replacing them with. And, oh, we have some really good candidates. This one's sort of iffy, so isn't this a good reason to put in the two good candidates we have as opposed to only being able to put in one? Not accusing any NOMCOM of, anything in this, but just having watched the dynamics of many NOMCOMs, that kind of balanced thinking of we're trying to build a balanced board, we've got to make sure we do this and this. If we take this person out, well, then we have to add this person, and really believe that the decision to remove a board member should be specific to that board member and that board member's performance and not based on the bigger calculus. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Tijani, and then I will recap.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. Sorry to jump in the queue, but still I have another thing to say about the ASO, SO or AC who appointed the director and who recalled him. In most of the case, it will not be the same since the composition of, for example, for ILAC, the composition of ILAC and the composition also of the RELO leadership would be changed in the meantime, and the structures in place will be different from those who appointed the director. So this principle is not well respected. My preference, once again, is that the community remove the director with the full agreement of the party or the SO or AC who appointed him. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Here's my... What I'm hearing, and I'm checking with Jordan as rapporteur, that although we may not have not all voices in the same direction, I think we have sufficient support to go for actually inserting proposals on this issue in the public comment report. I think I'm hearing traction around Avery's proposal, at least, which could be a central option or the proposal under consideration right now. As we did earlier this morning, we can still outline that there are other options that are being considered in their own arguments. and that would be the way we would conclude this item, with updating the report in that direction. And that would also enable us to have a consistent view of the individual recall of all directors. So this is the way I would try and conclude this item. I see that Alan is immediately raising hand. Rolof, you have your hand raised, and I'm assuming it's an old hand. Alan, is that a direct reaction to that summary?
Yes, it is.
Please.
I have a question for clarity. Are you suggesting that the reports say there are other options, or say there are other options that have been proposed and identify them?
I would suggest that the report states that Avery's proposal is the proposal under consideration at the moment, and it might provide explanation that other options, such as were investigated but are currently facing hurdles, like the legal hurdle, for instance.
Okay, I would strongly suggest that for other options that are legally viable, that they be identified. Otherwise, people are expected to divine what the other option is and decide whether they like it or not, and I don't think that's at all fair. Thank you.
I agree with you. That's perfectly clear. And thanks for making this request. So, with just under 15 minutes to go, we are going to move to the recall of the entire board. And I'm handing over to Thomas. And you're lucky, Thomas, because we've discussed this extensively in Istanbul. So, I mean, it's all settled already, right?
I do hope so, actually, Mathieu. And hello, everybody. Hello again. In this part of the agenda, we're going to discuss the community power to recall the entire board. It certainly would have been beneficial for the discussion to know exactly what legal mechanism we're using to embed that power into. But the good news is that we do know that it's feasible. You know, for whichever model we're using, we can have the community power to recall the whole board. So I think we should base our discussion on the assumption that what we're asking for, i.e. the requirement that we've established, can be implemented and can be enforced. What we should discuss in this call is actually seek agreement with the group or have further discussion on items that we identify as needing more deliberations when it comes to voting thresholds and other parameters of that, which you find set out in the right-hand column of the overview of the community powers. And I'd very much like to hand over to Jordan to give us a brief a recap of what the parameters for this community power are. Jordan, are you with us?
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, sorry, I just hadn't connected my audio. Can you hear me?
We can hear you all right.
Great, thank you. So this one is on the printed report on the PDF circulated on the 18th, on printed page 41 and 42. I think that translates to different pages in the PDF by the sound things. And the basics of this are listed on the table in front of you in the Adobe room as well. It's clear that this is a very legally viable approach. And once again, the critical kind of consideration has been to make a high threshold here. We do not want people to be trivially suggesting every other week that the ICANN board be removed. So the suggestions are that you need to get a petition of two-thirds of the SOs and ACs in ICANN. And at the moment, there are seven of them, I think, is the number, four advisory committees and three supporting organizations. And that it would have to be at least one SO and at least one AC. So you'd have to have commitment both from advisory committees, sorry, the language is wrong, and from SOs. I think the discussion that I recall from Istanbul anyway is that it would be probably a directed vote. And I think we've got that noted in paragraph C of this power 666. So that's something to think about and put out. It's part of the protection here. Final point is the threshold. We wanted a very high threshold of the number of votes that needed to be cast in favor, and that would have to be of the total possible votes in favor. And the idea here was that removing the whole board is so significant that you wouldn't want abstentions to reduce the amount of practical support required in order to remove an entire board. So that was the logic there. And the other point about the threshold is that you don't want to be able to allow one single SO or AC to block the removal. So that's, to me, that points to the 75% threshold rather than the 85% threshold, personally. But that's that. And we just need to identify that there are transitional matters. We do not need to solve all the detailed problems in this current report around what happens if the board is removed. So that's what paragraph E does. It signals that we're thinking about it. So I think that's the summary for you. The summary for you with Matthew. And I'll just add on, because I've seen it in the chat room, in terms of the two-thirds, it would be with the weighting, Alan. So, that would be there, which is why in the original discussions we had suggested a threshold of 24 out of 29. But yeah, the weighting does need to be taken into account. That's my intro.
Thanks very much, Jordan. And Alan's hand is up, and with that I'd like to open it up for discussion. Alan, please.
Thank you for clarifying that it is a weighted vote. Has there been any discussion or thought on whether an AC or SO must put all their votes in one direction, or could it be split?
John, would you care to respond to that directly? Yes, please do.
Sure. We haven't addressed it explicitly, but because that has to be a decision that is made once we know what the mechanism is. If each SO and AC is organized as a membership structure, I think the member has a vote, and I think it's difficult to split that. If we did the community council model organized through a single member, as Ruloff has been requiring, then yes, the votes could be split. If it's some other thing that allows for split voting, then that should be allowed. I think it should be the same basis as all other decisions. So if other decisions through this mechanism can split their support on a numerical basis, then I think the same should apply here. I don't think it should be treated differently.
Okay. I have no strong feeling. I was just curious. Clearly with designators, they could be split also should they choose.
Thanks, Alan, for the question, and thanks to Jordan for clarifying. And I would try to capture that we need to clarify this so that everybody can easily understand what we're up to. So that will go into the report in a, with a clarifying statement. Cavus is next.
I have no difficulty with the petition part, but I suggest that for the second step, the threshold should be higher. Three-fourths is too low. We are talking of removal of the entire board. We discussed, although it was not totally agreed, we discussed that should be four-fifths, because that is the very, very critical situation, removing the entire board. So I suggest that we change the threshold. If you could not agree to change the threshold, we put the two thresholds, three-fourths and four-fifths, for comment by the public. So still, I am in favor of four-fifths, but if it is not agreed, you put both thresholds for public comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. I suggest that we wait for other group members to chime in to indicate support for this for this proposal. For the time being, I have not seen any other objection against the threshold as being displayed in the chart. Mathieu is next.
Thank you, Thomas. I think personally I'm very much in favor of the fact that no particular ASO or AC be able to prevent the removal by itself. And I think the calculation of the relevant threshold must follow this. And I believe 4/5 would be acceptable for that matter, but it needs to be reassured once we have the actual, whether it's the Istanbul version of the votes that is given or another option. I just would like to make a note for us forward that we should stress that after a board removal as such, there is a need for further investigation of how we would ensure continuity in operations for ICANN. And that is certainly something we need to flag in our report. Otherwise, we might raise some legitimate concerns about the continuation of operations, and if we could provide at least guarantees that we are confident this can be achieved, that would be certainly helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. I see some support for the 4/5 option, so my suggestion would be to include the 4/5 option in the report and seek the community's input on that. Apart from that, I would like to offer a last chance to raise concerns with the other parameters in the right-hand column of the table. I don't see any, and with that, I think we can move to a recap. I would just briefly state that we're happy with what's in the chart. We will do a clarification on the weighted vote on the split, the possibility to split the directed vote, and we will also put out the different threshold suggestions for public comment. So it's going to be amended in the report, and you will have the opportunity to review that. And with that, I'd like to hand over to Mathieu for a recap of this session before we close.
Thank you very much, Thomas. I think we've reviewed the whole board sections, and although we still have a number of options, I think we have a nice way forward for the proposals we put to public comment, with a set of proposals for consideration on Workstream 1 based on ASO, each ASO AC being able to remove their own board members, and a sort of a central proposal for the NOMCOM based on Avery's suggestions, while we will recap the other options when they're legally viable and the rationale for not considering them as the central option. And for the recall of the entire board, we have still an agreement on moving forward. We know we have to further investigate the caretaker option of the board. That's certainly going to be a priority for the legal group to ensure this is consistent. And petition levels did not get any objections, and we are sort of converging around the 4/5 kind of threshold for the decision in the community group. So that's, I think, it's been an hour well spent. And I think we will try and turn around this document as we did for this morning in the next few hours before we reconvene for our next session. So is there anything I've missed out, Leon or Thomas? Or I see Alan's hand is up, so probably direct feedback.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to point out that 80% requires absolute unanimity of everyone except the one organization, the one 5-vote organization that is voting against it. So I just want to make sure that you're aware that that's what it implies.
Yeah, I think that was the terms of reference for 80%. That's my understanding. Jordan, you sort of would reconsider Kevin, is your next?
Oh, sorry. It's just that. Oh.
Kavuz?
Yes. My question is that Alan raised the issue that other options need to be identified, timing identified before the report is published for public comment or identified later on, because he said that very rightly the average proposal is one possible option, other option to be identified, but he did not talk about the timing of the identification, when it is expected to be identified. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavuz. They will be identified. I have Jordan next.
Sorry, I was just going to say that a couple of times I've seen our legal advisors suggest to us that we need to make sure that we don't set thresholds in this process that are so high that the mechanisms are unworkable. If we've got a situation where we have to have complete anonymity in all of the SOs and ACs if one is strongly opposed, I think we're in danger of hitting that threshold. So while I understand the fact that this needs to be a very high threshold compared to removing individual directors, don't forget that we've got a very high triggering threshold to even start it, and that given the consequences of removing a whole ICANN board are quite serious, though not, of course, disastrous, otherwise we wouldn't be proposing it, people will not do it lightly. So I think we should come back to the specific point in the second reading. I don't mind if we put AD in the next version, but I just think we have to be really careful about calibrating these overall in some of our wrap-up sessions at the end of this intensive thing to make sure we're not creating a bunch of things that look like they're good accountability mechanisms but can never be used. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan. I think we can agree that the actual threshold needs to be in a second reading and with actual calculations based on the models that we've been discussing this morning. That will be more concrete and easy to deal with. And with that, if Thomas or Leon have a last word, I think...
This is Thomas. Just to refresh everybody's memory that you all have the table where you can play with different votes and see the outcome instantly. So maybe between now and the next call, you should take the opportunity to play around with that and see what the consequences of different vote thresholds would be, and then we can revisit that point. Thank you, Mathieu.
Thank you, Thomas. And with that, I think we can close this second very useful session. We will reconvene at 1900 UTC for 3 hours, and we will address most of the work party two items, actually, fundamental. The review of the mission and core values and commitments, the independent review panel, and the reconsideration process. So don't miss that call. It's going to be extremely important. And I am confident we'll make as much progress later on in this third session as we've made in these first two sessions. And we are, after the third session, we'll be half time. So it's looking good so far. And talk to you later. Now have a good rest.
Thanks,
for those
everybody.
Of you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Talk to you soon.